Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee, right here on LA Talk Radio.
All right. Good evening, everybody. We're back, Razor Riffs, with Keith Razor and Alan Lee.
Hey.
Tonight, our guest is Billy Crank. Hey, Keith Razor, hey. Are you out there? How you doing, Keith?
I'm doing good. Are we on the podcast now?
You got it, buddy. You're on. We're on air.
Oh.
We are live.
Live. And on air.
Hey, Billy Crank. He's our guest tonight. Razor Riffs, baby.
Hey, crank it up.
Yeah, man. As some of you know, the character Ernest P. Worrell.
Is Ernest Power Tool Worrell.
There you go. One of my favorites, and Billy's going to explain to those who weren't there to enjoy the many lives of Ernest. But Ernest is quite a character. He's from down south. I'm from down southwest. I'm from Texas. And I remember Ernest really well. He had some great commercials and some very funny films.
I think before we talk about that, we should find out a little about Billy. How long have you been doing the impressions of Ernest?
Billy is a son of Ernest, as he calls himself.
Well, it's not an impression. It's just a way of life, Learn.
Oh, really? Wait, you're the actual son of Ernest?
Let me explain that to you. This is a long, long story, and I'm gonna shorten it as sweet as possible.
You know what? You can take your time.
Well, we got an hour, pal. Take as much as you want.
Take as much time as you want, Billy.
Well, you asked me how long I've been doing Ernest.
How long have you been doing Ernest?
Yeah, or doing impersonation type stuff of Ernest. Okay. I've been on YouTube, and they had just a random video pop up on YouTube for a short amount of time. It was called The Search for the New Ernest. And that video got sent to me, and I looked at it and was like, I don't know about this, you know. I feel sorry for whoever's doing this. I end up, that next day, it got emailed to me again and said, you should try out for this. And I'm like, no, I can't do that. I'm not going to try to even try to compete with what that man did. So what lit fire underneath of me was I had somebody else email me and say, Mr. John Cherry would like to talk to you. And I'm like, John Cherry, why does that sound familiar? Oh, that's Mr. Cherry, that's the guy who directed and wrote most of the Ernest movies. And I'm like, whoa. So I don't believe it. I end up getting in contact with him, and we talk. And he asks me down. I meet with him and Mr. Sams and kind of talk about things. And then we end it there. I go back home, and then John's telling me to start doing Ernest videos and putting as many of them online as possible. And I did that. And the meantime, he had a book he was writing called A Keeper of the Clown. And that's about Ernest. So I started doing all the Ernest videos, and it kind of became popular. And then I was told to take most of them down. And then there's kind of a conflict there between the new Ernest movie he was wanting to do and what another company was wanting to do, which is Son of Ernest. So I'm going to try to make it short and sweet. I thought I was going to be involved with that movie, so a lot of things was done to tailor my image towards that.
Right.
So, there's a lot of conflict in there and with that. And I've did my best to try to draw attention to that character and so on. I probably sidetracked there for a second, but that's about as much information I can give you on that part of it.
Well, no, I mean, I saw your YouTube videos, and I thought you were, like, dead on, right on, man.
Oh, they're funny. The weird thing
about it is, I'm from the same area as Jim Varney. Like, 20 minutes down the road, man, is where he lived.
Yeah. Have you ever met him?
No, but I am pretty good buddies with his niece and nephew. There's Justin Lloyd and Andrea Lloyd. Justin Lloyd just wrote a book called The Importance of Ernest, Things Vern Don't Know. So if anybody's interested, they might want to check that out. But that's his nephew. His nephew wrote it.
That's pretty cool.
And
The Importance of Ernest.
Yeah, so they're good people.
Oh, that's pretty cool, man. So are you still doing these YouTube videos, or because you said that you were told to take them all
down?
Well,
I am. I'm doing Billy Crank right now, man. That's the you know, and I've got a nasty email from the guys who's doing Son of Ernest saying cease and desist, and I'm not doing anything. The fans, the people out here, I've already been just pretty much tagged that character. You know, I did do it for a little while. I was with John Cherry for a short amount of time, and we had some ideas. We were trying to throw some ideas out to each other, and, you know, things could still happen later, but right now they're going through some kind of crisis with making the movie, and it's been since 2013, and here I was running around trying to help them out and do this character and develop it for them. I've been working so hard, and kind of just left me hanging. So I'm doing Billy Crank at the moment, and Billy Crank just happens to look like a lot like Ernest and could be his son. So, but the fans are doing the dirty work. God love them.
Now, what's more fun for you, acting or directing?
Man, I like both. I have that passion. I love directing. I love acting. It's good stuff, man. Like when I first started acting, I went into a studio, and then I come back home, and I told the person that was there, I said, you know, I finally found my people. So.
Yeah, because like the thing is, like I do acting. Alan Lee does acting too, but like the thing I hate about acting is auditions. You ever hate auditions?
Oh yeah, that's nerve wracking for me.
Yeah, because you go into an audition, right, and they're like, read this part, and then like when you go for comedy, because I specialize in comedy and not drama, so I get all these parts for auditions for comedy and stuff, and I don't think it's funny, so I can't really audition words that I don't think are funny, you know what I mean? And you seem like you have that type of personality where you could make any words funny just by being Billy Crank.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you. Improv's fun, too.
Yeah. Alan Lee is a master improv.
I've taken a lot of improv, and I've done some improv at the Ice House and some other venues.
Mm-hmm.
So, Billy, what part of your personal interests and hobbies and life down there in Kentucky have you put into the character?
Is like kicking in Kentucky?
Dude, say that again.
What was that?
Is the like acting scene like kicking in Kentucky? Because like usually acting, it's like more known in Los Angeles and New York, right?
Yeah, you got that right, man. But there's actually a lot of films going on around here in Kentucky.
Yeah, I know
they've got a budget for filmmakers in Kentucky to make films here.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's continuously films all around you here, and then plus we got little Hollywood, which is Nashville right now, down below us, so leaves us a little driving distance there, and we can get into pretty much whatever we want. And if it wasn't for the internet, you know, hardly any of us would be anywhere right now.
Well, it's so funny, because Billy, you know, I got my Screen Actors Guild card while I was in Texas, and when I was in college, and I'll tell you, a lot of people forget how much shooting is done in the South, in the Southwest. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot goes on down there. You know.
Yeah, there is. It's just on who you know and the connections
yeah,
you make.
Yeah, it's
what it's all about, man. I mean, and the people that help you along the way,
yeah,
support you, that
yeah.
kind of thing.
I love this character, and I think you do a great job on it. I've seen the YouTube.
Well, thank you. Now, if I can just talk Mr. Coke Sams into it and his posse, maybe we can get something going.
Well, I think that's a possibility.
Yeah. John Cherry, he's been a real good guy, and he tried his best to get me in there and make some things happen.
Well, that's great, because I saw the Ace Ventura deal you did, which I thought.
Oh yeah, the fan made movie. Yeah, that was like a $200. We did that like on a $200 budget, dude.
That looks so good, and you guys just do a fantastic job in that. It's hilarious.
Yeah,
and it's a great idea.
Practice.
Great idea.
Thank you.
Because you know that the character Ernest, you know,
I like how Billy says thank you. That's so compliment. Like it's a very. It's a very positive thank you. You ever like be like, oh, thank you, but you say it with like a little, especially from a guy from Kentucky, you do a little Prince Charming into it, you know? That's pretty cool.
Hey, the guys down south there, man, they're like genteel gentlemen.
Hey, so Billy, do you read the news a lot in Kentucky? Like, is there a lot of big news stories?
Big news stories?
Yeah, because I was watching the news today, and like they said on the news, like, do you watch the news or no?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, because I was watching the news, and they caught the Mike Frisbee serial killer in Kentucky, and I was just wondering, what are your thoughts on that, man?
The what?
You didn't hear about the Mike Frisbee serial killer?
No, I haven't.
Oh, well, Mike Frisbee. Yeah. Alan, you heard about this, right?
I recall something along those lines. It's scary stuff.
Yeah, this is scary, man. Like, Mike Frisbee was a serial killer, where what he did was, like, he'd kidnap
children.
He'd throw
frisbees at them?
No, but he'd kidnap children.
That's a good question.
And he'd eat them alive, you know what I mean? So, like, you don't get the, you know. And then he'd send the child's skull to the parents, you know, that he kidnapped and stuff. So I heard that they caught him, you know.
Oh, that's a trip, man. No, I don't know nothing about that.
Yeah. Well, I'm just bringing it up because my neighbor received a skull earlier last year, so.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, man.
It's a little dark humor from Keith Reza there. He's just playing. He's playing with you.
I like dark jokes. Do you like dark jokes?
Yeah, sometimes. Depends on what it is. I've heard some sick ones.
Oh yeah? Like disturbingly sick or just like funny?
Yeah, I'm not repeating them, but yeah, disturbing.
Oh. Oh yeah, disturbing jokes are gross, man. I don't like them.
Yeah, go ahead, Keith.
What were you going to say, Ollie?
No, I was just gonna ask Ernest that I get the feeling that
Ernest?
Ernest Worrell. I was going to ask Billy. I was going to ask him that I think he's a fan of Westerns, because I am. And I could see your character and you yourself playing in a Western. And I'm really hoping that there's a comeback, and I know a couple of writers who've assured me that the Western is coming back. Hurrah! Because I'm a real Western fan. Are there any Westerns that you think you could inject your character into, or do you like to see modern 1870s?
You mean like a Clint Eastwood type deal?
Oh my God! Exactly. You hit the nail on the head there, Billy. Clint Eastwood's one of my favorites I've seen. In fact, actually,
me too, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Alan is actually good friends with Scott Eastwood.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
He looks just like him, man.
He doesn't, he though. Yeah,
he does.
Alan, tell Billy your story about Scott Eastwood.
Well, actually, Keith got that a little bit wrong there. It's I went to a party and.
And here, here
it goes. This is how it all starts.
You got it. You got it. And it was actually not Scott Keith. It was Allison, you know, his daughter that was there.
Funny, it was his daughter.
Yeah, and you know, she's done some films, and Clint was there too. And
cool.
I'll tell you, I'm such a big fan of Clint. And, you know, the spaghetti westerns, which were kind of funny because they were Italian, you know, we were made in Italy. And I love those costumes. I love the costumes that they came up with. You've seen those Italian spaghetti westerns, right? Fistful of Dollars. And I can't wait for that stuff to come back, Billy, you know. And you're a surefire guy for that kind of movie, those kind of movies, you know.
You think so?
Absolutely.
In a comedy way or more serious?
Yeah, I think either way. There's comedy sidekicks.
Blazing Saddles here. What are we talking?
Blazing Saddles is good enough for me. I like them all.
Blazing Saddles was a funny.
Oh, that's movie. A classic. That's a classic.
Billy, have you ever heard of Argus Hamilton? Argus Hamilton. Yeah,
I haven't, buddy.
Oh, well, we had him on the show a couple months ago, and he was telling us about Blazing Saddles, and he said that, like, they were all coke during the filming, which is why it was so funny. You remember that, Al?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, that was very funny. They were a little bit high.
I mean, Argus told the story well before you and me, but, like, holy Lord.
Yeah, that's
is everyone still there?
But, yeah, man. So, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to ask Billy, who were his comic influences besides Ernest? Like, is there someone else that influenced him?
Besides Jim Varney?
Yeah, who are some of your favorites?
See. Robin Williams.
Bingo.
Tim Allen.
Bam. I love both of them.
Bob Denver.
Oh, my God. You know what? Thank you. Because, you know, Bob Denver is another character that I just thought he was fantastic, hilarious guy. And
I would totally audition to be Gilligan.
Oh, my. That's another one I'd love to see come back.
Yeah, I could see you doing that. Have you been, like, do you try doing that character, too?
Yeah, I believe I could do that 100%. If I had the right direction, I can do anything.
Oh, I like that. That's good. That's a good philosophy. But I could definitely see you as a Gilligan. They should remake that, and we should get Billy Crank on board, man.
We'll see. Josh Gad had something to do with that last year, I think. Yeah, he was trying to get that going. And I had his email address, and I lost it. I had a friend send it to me, and I totally misplaced it, and I didn't think of nothing else about it. But, yeah, Josh Gad had some kind of rights to a new picture or something at one point in time. I don't know how true that is.
Yeah. Well, you know what's, like, I lose emails all the time, but the cool thing about it is the internet. You could always re-find it somehow, you know? So,
yeah,
because you lost it, you could find it again. It's not a big deal.
I just kind of gave up on it, but I had a piece of paper he wrote me, and I stuck it in my pocket, and then I got on there and I tried to look for it again, and I couldn't find anything but like companies and stuff. I didn't think it was worth trying to send out.
That happens to us all.
All that information.
Yeah, the lost business card.
Has that happened to you?
I lose business cards, and I certainly, when I'm in your car, I noticed that it's very easy to lose a lot of business cards.
If he wasn't so famous, it'd be probably easier to get a hold of him.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. There you go.
That's true.
So you got to go through this person and this person and this person, and then sometimes they won't. They'll be like, "Yeah, I'll tell him you called," and then whatever.
They never tell them. You ever know that? It's like that's what publicists do. Because like I deal with calling a lot of publicists, and you know they're like, "Oh yeah, I'll tell them you called and stuff," and they never tell them. And then when I meet people again, I was like, "Oh yeah, your publicist, Miss Anderson, said she'd tell you I called," and they're like, "Oh, Miss Anderson never told me." It's like, They always do that. Either that, or they did tell them, and like the person you're trying to talk to is just being nice to you and saying, I don't know. Yeah, but Hollywood, gotcha. Man, you know. So do you ever go to like, concerts in Kentucky?
Do what?
Do you ever go to concerts in Kentucky? Like,
Yeah, I mean, they've had a few by here. Let's see here. I went to see Kenny Chesney with a few people, and that's the last one I went to. But I think Pearl Jam or Guns N' Roses, one of them was up through this way. But, yeah, we get a lot of concerts.
Yeah,
I go to a lot of, like, Comic-Con events and stuff, too.
Oh, they have Comic-Con out there?
Yeah, they got a, it's called Lexington Comic-Con, and, let's see, Lexington Comic and Toy Convention is what it's called.
Do you ever interview people out there? Because I can see you
I do.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
I do.
Oh, yeah. What are you talking about, man?
Yeah. I interview local artists and bands and stuff for UK campus.
Oh, is anyone particular that you recall that you found interesting?
Well, we have, we just started, we've had like maybe two or three guests. It's all local, local people.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I take it you like, the whole, I'm a big comic book fan, I've got quite a collection. And I was unable to make the Comic-Con in San Diego this year, but I know it. You know, there's different ones all over the country, and
yeah, it's a good connection.
Yeah, it's amazing who shows up to those. You know,
I got to hang out with Julia Roberts' brother for a short amount of time.
Ah, very good.
Oh,
and then all the Power Rangers. I got to party with the Power Rangers, man.
Wow.
Oh, that's
a few of them anyway.
The first class Power Rangers or the second class?
No, the first set, the ones I grew up watching.
Oh, yeah. I remember those ones, man. That was when they were cool. They had, like, Jason was the Red Ranger, Kim was the Pink Ranger, and she was hot. That's probably why she was the Pink Ranger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think her name's, like, Amy or something, but yeah, man. And then they had, like, that long-haired dude. He was, like, the Green Ranger, and then he changed to the Silver Ranger. So, Power Rangers, cool. Man. I grew up on that, man. They were, like, Morphin. Alan, did you audition for the Power Rangers?
No, I don't
know.
I never in my entire life ever auditioned for the Power Rangers, so I don't remember. I have no recall of that, Keith.
No, but I could even see you on the Power Rangers, Billy. Like that, you could be that. Who is the guys? Like they were the bullies. You know what I mean? There's the big fat guy, and then the really skinny one. I could see you being the really skinny one, and then and I could eat a whole bunch of fucking donuts or something, and I could be the really fat one.
Yeah, don't let him hear you say that.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
I got you, man.
So, you hung out with Eric Roberts. What was that like?
Well, it's just, when you go to these things, it's just a brief hangout talk type deal, unless you do something at the after party and just hang out with them longer. But when you go to these things, you get your time to hang out with them and stuff and fill them out and get what kind of personalities they have and make those connections. And I've actually did things backwards. That's how I, like, before I did the Ernest stuff, and I was still on YouTube, and I was going to these conventions making connections and stuff, and then I actually landed a commercial.
Oh, fantastic. Because
I was putting it out there like, hey, I want to do commercials. So,
yeah.
Somebody wanted to do a commercial, and they got me, and we did it up. I wrote a storyboard out, directed it, and starred in it.
What was the product?
Oh, it was Appliance Exchange.
Ah.
It's on my YouTube channel.
Cool.
But I popped out of a washer.
That's funny, man. Do you still remember it? Like, can you, like, if I asked you right now to play that commercial just with the words, can you still do that? Or did you?
I don't know. No.
Yeah. Probably. No, because there's a lot, because, like, there's a lot of people, like, for example, like, when I do, like, stand-up comedy or whatever, people will be like, oh, hey, can you say that one joke that I did, like, 3 years ago? It's like, oh, I don't fucking remember the joke, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it takes all the fun out of it when somebody asks you to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
But I can do that. I can do that one part where I change into the old lady.
Oh, really?
There you go. He never knew when to quit. And then that's it.
There you go. See, Keith, you got your request.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, man.
It's hard when someone tells you, you know, hey, you know, can you do that joke or can you do that little bit from the movie or whatever? It's a tough thing. And I, a singer, can, you know, give a song out, but man, when they say, could you do that last scene in the last movie you did for me? A little tough.
So Billy, what are your future projects that you're working on? You got any some cool projects?
I've got a movie that I'm finishing up right now. I have to drive to Pennsylvania from Kentucky to finish it, but it's called Corky and Bob Find a Job, and it stars basically the same cast, maybe a few more people, as that Ace and Ernie movie that you guys watched. So the Ace and Ernie movie was our training period, and as far as like working as a crew and our few little small companies together trying to make something out of nothing. So we graduated from that little movie into a movie that we actually have money to use for the movie. So we're doing that. And then I have a script that's sent to me from Australia that I'm going to be looking at. So I might be taking a flight to Australia. A friend of mine is affiliated with Netflix and ABC down there, so trying to possibly get my own show together. I've got a 10-episode script written already, and I've actually got I've got my own Son of Ernest, Ernest Jr. type script tailored to Billy Crank. So if I can present that to the right person, possibly John Cherry and Coke Sam's, Ruckus Film, all them, if they'll take me up on that and check it out, then maybe we can work something out, because it's a great script. It's awesome. It's well in with the original Ernest stuff. And hopefully they'll pick up on it and want to do something. If they don't, it's going to be Billy Crank. So we're going to go ahead and do it anyway, but it's going to be Billy Crank.
All right.
So we'll figure that part out. Legally.
I like how you're still doing it. You know, you're not letting obstacles get in your way. I like that. That's very.
Well, I've worked hard on, as far as that I've made it. I made it on Dish Network Hunting Channel. I've been on Fox. I've been on local news around here. I've made 4 or 5 commercials that's been on TV locally, and I've kept it in my state, basically. And I've worked too hard, and I've got a little bit of a fan base that keep fire lit underneath of me that keeps me going. So I'm not going to give up. I came real close. We're talking depression. We're talking divorce. We're talking all kinds of stuff that's been in my way, man. Trying to do this and have a family. All that stuff, man. So I know the meaning of a starving artist. I'm giving it my 100%. I'm going to find every loophole, whatever I can do to satisfy my people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, dude. If anyone knows what you mean, it's Keith Reza, man. Because I don't have a family or anything, but I suffer from depression with my career. But like, I agree. The fans, they give you that fire to keep going. You know what I mean? So I know how that is, man.
Yeah, you just can't give up, man. Can't do it. Done been through too much and gone too far to give up.
Yeah, yeah.
that's what you want to do, live your life how you want to live.
I admire you for that, because there's a lot of guys who they'll once there's an obstacle in their way, they'll just give up, you know. And I like how you're walking around an obstacle to get to the path, and a lot of guys don't know how to do that, you know what I mean? I mean, you know that. A lot of guys just, they say first no, okay. It's like if someone says you're not talented, like, for example, if your dad says, hey, you're not talented, you would probably want to go into being a doctor or something, because your own dad doesn't think you're talented, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then when that happens to me, I think, oh, I never see my dad, so my dad's opinion doesn't really mean shit to me. So I'd move on. Yeah. Now, if my mom said it, it'd be like, holy Lord, I gotta get a new mom.
I feel you.
Yeah, yeah. See, Alan, he feels me.
We all do. Alan, we all do.
Alan, are you still there?
Yes, I'm listening. You, I heard you. You'd have to get a new mom. Not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, I thought that joke was going to make Billy laugh. I thought wrong.
No, apparently it didn't. Anyway.
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, Keith is always on comedy, and we love him for that. But, you know, there's so much going on these days. Netflix and HBO. It's a great time because for actors, writers, because there's so much independent stuff going on, and I think this is where you fit in very well, Billy. And you know, it's fantastic.
I appreciate it, man. I'm a whole another kind of breed of actor, dude. If the right director, producer, people get my back and put me in something, we could have a gold mine.
Well, you're gonna.
It's
need,
just finding the right person that's got that idea.
You got
for
it.
Me.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Are you planning ever to come out?
Whoever the director is, all they have to do is direct me, and I can do what they want me to do.
I'm very, are you very confident?
And we can make something.
You do what you've done shows that. Well, you know, are you ever considering moving out here a bit, or just coming out here?
Well, again? I've got family up that way. What is that? L.A.?
Yeah, we're in L.A.
Fresno?
Yeah, I got some cousins in Fresno.
Fresno. All right.
Oh, Fresno. Alan, we went to Fresno for that. Was it Fresno
it
that
was,
we went to for that
it
hotel
a,
gig
it was
a couple
com- it was
months
a com-
ago?
It was a comedy contest. And I
yeah,
thought,
yeah. Alan, whenever I do shows, I try and get Alan to open up for me, because Alan is the funniest guy. He's an improv genius.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Keith.
Yeah. And, but have you ever tried, like, have you ever considered, like, maybe doing stand-up comedy? Because I think you'd be great at that.
I have tried it quite a few times. The very first time I did it, of course, it was a nightmare, and it scared me. But I've gotten better. I actually put a comedy show together down this way, and I was the host, and I gathered all the comedians from different parts of Kentucky together, and we had a little mini concert type deal, and kind of put that on. So in between the acts, I would goof off and talk a minute and get comfortable.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So you were hosting.
Yeah, I was just the host, but I could get up there and say what I wanted to.
Yeah, that's the beauty about hosting, you could say.
Yeah,
because
no pressure on you.
Yeah, because you were just getting everyone settled in and stuff. Do you enjoy doing that? Like, is that something? Because, like, I think with your character and your personality and stuff, I think you'd be a huge success in Los Angeles.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I've been told a few times I need to get out there and meet up with some people and try to get some attention that way. I'm from Kentucky. It's hard to make it out of here. I'll go north. I'll go south, and that's about it.
Yeah.
But I like to go to some family and stuff.
Yeah, I get that too. You said you're filming a movie in Pennsylvania. How far is that from Kentucky?
It's probably about 8 hours away from here, something like that.
Holy Lord. Are you driving or are you flying?
I'm just driving.
Oh, that's a long drive, man.
It's just a long, I think the road that connects there is just a really long and windy one.
Yeah. Do you have a good car that could get you through that?
Heck no.
I like how he's like, heck no.
No, man, I'll end up calling AAA or something.
So, have you ever heard of the YouTube channels? They're like, what YouTube is doing now, because, you know, you're big on YouTube. What they're doing is they're hiring and they're putting full budget into, you know, sitcoms and shows and stuff. Have you ever heard of that? Because I think that if you're going with the Netflix thing, I think the YouTube thing should follow you too, because, you know, you have a huge following on YouTube. That might be something.
Yeah, if I could get some kind of more information about it, I would love to do that.
Yeah, I don't have the information because, like, I'm not huge on YouTube, but my friend, he said that they were doing that, and then I went in a movie theater, and I saw, like, a trailer for a YouTube movie, and they said you had to sign up for YouTube to watch the movie. And, like, you know... Yeah, so I think that would be really, because it's funny how YouTube is like such a very popular way on promotion now. Like, it could really blow you up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just think about it back like in the 90s and stuff, and when we all had VHS cameras and we had to mail each other the tapes.
that's true.
The postage we save nowadays.
Yeah, you know the producer Ron on the show, he's a good friend of yours. And I think he's just so fascinated. Like, he's a fascinating guy because he makes all these great YouTube clips. Have you ever watched his movies that he made on YouTube?
What's it called?
It was one with Trump. I don't remember what it was a silent film. But Ron did it, and it was I think it was called My Fairness and Trump or something, but it was so good. Like, Ron should, like, I think YouTube should fucking hire him to make all these great videos, because they make great videos, and Ron's very talented, you know?
Ron, I'll have to check that one out. No, I haven't seen it, brother.
Yeah, he posts it on Facebook, and I think that he should create a show around you, too. I think that would be awesome too. You get Ron and YouTube, and then Billy Crank, and then boom.
Hey, that's we'll market the crap out of it.
Yeah, live from Kentucky, baby.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be, when I go to Australia, I think I'm going to document that whole trip. Me from getting on the plane, being on the plane, getting off the plane.
That's it.
And they'll have another set of cameras once I like actually arrive. And then they're going to show me around all the animals that they have there and that kind of thing.
Yeah, like kangaroos and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kangaroos are a funny animal because they, like, hop, you know? And then they have, like, a belly. And then inside the belly, it's a tiny kangaroo. You ever notice that? That's not really a joke. That's just a kangaroo fact.
That's cool. I know they have like over 100 different kinds of insects that's around your house that could kill you.
They can actually box too, and it's really, you know, it.
Wait, insects could box?
No, kangaroos, Keith.
We can put them in a box, but they can't box.
No, we were.
Alan, I didn't know you knew kangaroos could box, man.
Well, you can YouTube that. It's very funny. They sometimes put them up on Facebook as well.
Yeah, they're like...
See, like, but see, that proves my point. That's how powerful YouTube is, because Alan's very first words were, you could YouTube that. So yeah. What I'm saying is, like, YouTube is a huge power source now. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have made it as far as I have without YouTube. Honestly, to be able to throw videos up in people's faces and make them decide whether they like it or not. Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So let me get, which one do you find better, Facebook or Twitter? Like, Like, which one do you enjoy? Because I don't really enjoy social media.
Dude, it took me years to get off of MySpace.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I've been on Facebook for a long time, but here in the past year, I've just got on Instagram, I just got on Twitter, and I just got on Vine, so.
How do you like Twitter? Do you like
the
Twitter?
Exact same way.
Yeah, I don't care for it.
You don't?
Well, see, Twitter is very powerful, too, you know what I mean? Like, because I was the exact same way as you. Like, when MySpace was starting to shut down and stuff, I was still addicted to it. And then everyone went to Facebook, and then, like, fucking MySpace turned into, like, this whole music thing, and it got weird. So then I went on Facebook, and then everyone started going on Twitter. And then, like, well, I'm still on, I'm blowing it up on the Facebook. Then I signed up for Twitter, and now everyone's on Instagram. And it's like, I'm always like, a step behind on the social media, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't take good photos, you know? I have a phone, not a camera.
I regret getting my mama on Facebook.
She one of your friends?
She gets on there and tags me in the weirdest posts. I'm like, Mom, you can't do that. I got, like, people watching what I do, and they'll click on it. She's like, I didn't do nothing. I said, yeah, you're posting pictures on my wall and tagging me on it. And she was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And you know what it is? It's like a big marijuana leaf or something. Yeah. And I'm like, Mom, what are you doing?
My mom's the exact same way on Facebook. Like, I created a Facebook event a couple weeks ago that said, who wants to date me? Because, like, I'm lonely and stuff. And all 220 friends hit not attending, except for my mom. She hit maybe. And, like...
Well, that was one right there.
That's weird, you know, because it's like now everyone knows your mom might maybe date you. Like, it's kind of... I don't know.
That's good.
Yeah. And the worst is, like, when they post, like, photos of when you were growing up, you know? Because, like, everyone, I think, is very ashamed of their photos when they were kids. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because here's the thing. I was an adorable kid, but the photos my mom posts makes me feel like I wasn't adorable. Like, I feel I was adorable, but if you looked at the photos... It's not adorable. It's like Macaulay Culkin had a cheeseburger, you know?
Right. Yeah,
true. Does your mom post, like photos like that? Like, me and Billy,
I'll go pick her up, and we'll go to get a bite to eat. She'll be doing selfies. And, like, tagging me in.
Selfies?
Yeah. And she don't even know what a selfie is.
Yeah, that's why it's so funny, because my mom doesn't do selfies. She's all like... My mom plays with the iPhone not knowing it's a camera, and she'll, like... You know how, like, it'll take pictures every now and then on the iPhone? Like, do you have an iPhone? I don't know if you have an iPhone, but...
I got some kind of weird ZTE phone.
Oh, well... An iPhone, it's like a mini TV thing, and, like, if you just hit buttons, it'll take pictures. So my mom does that, and she has, like, hundreds of pictures of her just playing on a phone, and she doesn't realize she's taking a picture. So, like, my mom's kind of crazy like that, too, you know?
Yeah, my mom's a hippie.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
That's funny.
She's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom. I wish my mom was a hippie, man. I could get, like, weed whenever I want.
Right.
Yeah. So, Alan Lee, before we head out, man, do you have any questions for the great Billy Crank? We only have, like, 5 minutes, man.
I want to see more of Billy as soon as possible, and I wish him the best of luck in his endeavors. I mean, I'm really impressed, and I enjoyed his stuff a lot.
I really appreciate that, man.
You know, when he comes up here and visit us, give us a ring here in Los Angeles. And, you know, hey, man, it'll be good.
You know what I was just thinking? You know how we were talking about how Billy, you could do a Mean Green Gilligan's Island, you know?
That would be fantastic.
I was thinking you should do that, and I was thinking Alan Lee, who is the guy who was on, because I haven't watched the show in a long time, but who is Skipper, right? He was the old guy with the white hair,
that was,
right?
That was Alan Hale, yeah. He's very funny.
Yeah, yeah.
His father was Alan Lee,
could be the Cuban Skipper. Yeah,
there you go. I tell you, Keith definitely has a future in ideas here.
I know. You know. I should tell him.
It'll be Gilligan's Isle, the sequel, part two, directed by Keith Reza.
I'd be a terrible director, though, Billy. But like, if I ever did direct you, I'd say, Billy, go nuts.
Well, Keith would keep the
yeah, I've had that happen a couple of times.
Oh, do you like those directors? Or
no.
Because I like... Oh, you don't?
Not unless... Not. I mean, you can't shove a camera in my face and be like, okay, go. You have to give me some direction. I've had that... Like, let's see, it was ABC with Big Brother. It was a Big Brother audition. They did that to me. Oh, man, I was so pumped about going and being there, and I figured they would have a few questions for me, but they didn't do nothing. They just put the camera in my face and was like, okay, you're on. I'm like, okay, my name's Billy Craig, blah, 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 and it was kind of rushed.
Yeah.
But I do like the improv. Besides that crap, the improv's good.
Yeah. I wouldn't want you to feel rushed. I'd be like, I'd put a camera in front of you, and I'd be like, Billy, I don't want you to feel rushed, but I want you to do what you want and bring out the Billiness. You know what I mean? That's what I would say.
The Billiness.
Yeah. The Billiness, man. That's cool. Hey, do you know what Raccoon
T-shirt.
TV is?
What?
A Raccoon TV? They like help sponsor the Razor Riffs. And
that's
stuff,
one of our.
And, like,
that's one of our sponsors.
That's one of our sponsors, and I was thinking, if you get like a really your best video and send it to me, mm-hmm. we'll send it to Raccoon TV, and we'll have them promote it too. Because when I did my stand-up special, they promoted my stand-up special. I got like 3,000 Facebook friends within 2 months.
Cool.
Yeah, we should do that, man. That's what I'm saying. The power of the internet, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, you can work some magic, dude. You just got to know how to work the system.
Yeah, we'll do it, though. Well, Billy, is there anything else you want to, like, promote and you want to get off your chest? Like, was this fun for you? Was it, like, easy therapy, or did you want to kill me, or?
I always love doing podcasts, man. You never know who you're going to be talking to, what kind of personalities are going to be on here, and who's listening to you, so I absolutely love it. It's good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I greatly appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, of course, man. Do you do a lot of podcasts?
This is my first one I did in 2016. I used to do them all the time from 2012 to up until 2015, and then I got a divorce, and then kind of things went blah. So, but yeah.
Well, pal, I mean, best of luck to you on everything, and like I said, I really admire you because you're the type of artist that I think is not letting stuff get in your way, I think is a true road to success, you know?
I appreciate that, and stay humble.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree on that.
Appreciate people who appreciate you.
Well, thanks, Tally. Oh, anything else you want to promote before we got to go?
Well, I'd like everybody to check me out on YouTube. Just type in Billy Crank on YouTube and I should pop up. And I'm on Facebook. I got a fan page. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Vine. And you can Google me. Pretty much everything will pop up that you want to know.
I have one more question. Do you like Vine? Because everyone's telling me I should get on it, but like I don't know how to Vine. Is that like easy to learn?
I mean, it's easy. It's easy to use. It's kind of like a Snapchat on crack. I don't know.
Snapchat on crack. Well, Well, thanks for talking to us, Billy. I really appreciate it, man. And I'm going to talk to Ron about, like, doing those YouTube things, because I really think, like, that would be really successful, too.
I'm totally down. If you've got ideas and you want me to be involved, man, I've got my hands into all kinds of different pots. One thing I didn't talk about, I'm in a comic book. It's called Paper Cut 2.
Oh.
A guy drew me in it. There's so many things that I've been doing. It's just crazy. I'm even into ghost hunting.
Oh, give us a little bit on that before you leave us. That's with this movie Ghost.
Well, I went to the anniversary of the Paravor Battlefield here in Kentucky, and we did a little bit of research, and I ended up catching about 4 to 5 different EVPs and an actual image caught on videotape. We froze that image up and had it, I forget what you call it, a dialysis or something where you could tell if it was messed with,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then we posted that up on the YouTube, one of our videos, and one of the EVPs, it was scary. We were on a hill, and we were, of course, talking and trying to get some kind of interaction with something, and it said, want to play. As clear as day, you could hear it. And what happened, there was a house on top of that hill during the battle of Parable Battlefield, and there was a girl in the house, and it burned. That's what the story I was told later after it was done recorded. But that's real. I've got all kinds of evidence on...
We're going to have to be wrapping. We're going to have to be wrapping it up, Keith and Billy. So we got about another minute, and we're going to have to wrap it up.
All right, guys. Yeah, that's interesting, dude. We should have started talking about that, man.
It's just another thing that I do with the friends that I've made and stuff. And like, again, I'm going to say this 100 times. It's all about the connections and the friends that you have.
Billy, we're going to have to
thank you for Keith Reza,
thank you for coming on, Billy, and we really enjoyed it, and we want to speak to you again another time, and we really appreciate you coming on our show. And Keith,
hey, no problem, anytime.
Fantastic. And our sponsors tonight are Stand Up Magazine, a great comedy magazine that has everything going on in comedy in L.A., and you can follow it, find out where comedians are playing and bios on them. And also Raccoon.
Standup.net.
And also Raccoon.
Raccoon TV.
Okay, so, hey, man, it's a great evening tonight, and we'll see you next week with Keith Reza on Reza Riffs and Alan Lee.
Yeah, thanks, Billy.
Hey, no problem.
You're listening to Reza Riffs with Keith Reza and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.